This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
We were in a conversation yesterday with Leslie DePoe on her love of step. Rummy's dived right in there and enjoys it as well. So when you started doing the show, you weren't Miss, how's a nice way to put it, Miss Fitness. Your history of, you know, working out and stuff like that. Well, isn't that a cool noise?
Do you hear that?
It sounds like something from the Enterprise.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right. Threw me right off.
It went away.
Maybe.
No, it'll come back because mine always does. You think it's gone and then all of a sudden, oh no.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless somebody found a way
maybe.
Just before we bring the oil man in to discuss his fitness woes and the lack of, I'm kind of curious, did you have any crazy weird accidents at all when you first started to delve into fitness where you maybe didn't do that? Maybe tried to exercise on that throw rug and wiped out or anything?
Oh, yeah, all of it. That's what I mean. When Margaret was talking about...
You were chiming right in.
Yeah, mentioning all the throw rugs and all this, I'm like, wait a minute. Because it's true that your space is not meant to be like this open gym type place, right? Where you're just tossing your equipment right in the middle and you got all this room to dance around. Absolutely not. My living dining room area actually looks completely different than what it was before the pandemic, specifically because I moved everything to the outside, the perimeter, so that I can have all the space in the middle. I'm not even joking.
I don't have a fashion turnover, over, that's for sure. What have you done to this place? It's a great gymnasium with furniture.
That's right.
How about you, Oil? When you've had to work out at home, have you made the mistake of punching out a lamp or going to pop on the floor and kicking over like the coffee table or something when you've been exercising in a home situation?
That's my daily routine.
Oh, just getting around, going for coffee.
Exactly. Well, I'm all about health and fitness, as you know.
Right.
Lack thereof, I said it.
Bubble tea.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, about the same. But we've got one of those elliptical machines here, so I'll go on it once in a while. You know what? I go on it just often enough that it's a reminder of how out of shape I am.
And then you hang the clothes back on it.
I should really go on this a lot more. But it's nice out, so I'm going for walks. I do like to, I used to play hockey a lot, and now not so much anymore, but still like to get out and do things.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. That's the nice, natural way when in a different time we can do those things. And awesome. Sir, we welcome you guys in on Wednesdays and Fridays to the program for a regional content report. And we're joined by Jim Crisco out in Edmonton, ladies and gentlemen. He's our AMI content development specialist out there. Let's start, Jim, in Manitoba, where you've got a fun camp to share with us, something really good and really important.
This is really good and really cool. It's great because, once again, you know, we're all going through this, the COVID-19, we're going through the pandemic, and there is a definite impact on mental health for everyone. And we can't not be very conscious of the impact on the youth, young people as well. Their schooling is being disrupted. Our next story is about that as well. It's just... there's an awful lot of stuff that's disrupted things in people's lives. So the Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba has started what they call a MAD camp, M-A-D, and it stands for Music, Art, and Dance. And what this is they had it going last year. They're going to be doing it again this year. I'm not sure when or what the form is going to take. But what it is it brings these kids together. They get a chance to, share art, perform in art, do a performance, and basically give them some normalcy and some interaction that they lost during this pandemic. So it's a absolutely spectacular idea.
Nice outlet. It really is. Mm-hmm. Like anything to do with art, whether you're acting, singing, dance, whatever it is.
Absolutely. And I pose this to you, you guys, because I didn't really understand it or didn't think about it, I guess, until I started to read articles like this. But how, in your opinion, do you think that something like the arts we've sort of reconnected with it in this pandemic and realized the importance of it that we maybe have had lost a little bit before. I think I had that, you know, it's not only just the fact that, you know, you can still see art or you can still hear art, but the fact that I think it's taking them back into the roots to creating art.
I think, and we notice it's missing, Jim, but I think expression is what also drives us to be able to, whether we're sad, whether we're happy, whether we're angry, whether we're frightened, we do things as human beings through expression, and that's what all art is, really.
Absolutely. I 100% agree, and I can see it in these young people that are able to go out and, you know, connect with art and connect with each other through art. So, so important. There's a statistic in this story that I found startling. Part of it is startling. Part of it is reassuring because people are reaching out for help. But they said in 2020, the Kids Help Phone had more than 4.5 million connections with young people through phone calls and texts.
Oh my.
Compared to 1.9 million in 2019.
That's amazing. So, I mean, you know, however way you want to take that, right? Whether it's like just a startling number or to think those many people reached out because they wanted that connection or needed to or recognized that they needed it. That's incredible.
Absolutely. I take it. Initially, I was startled, but I really take it as a comforting sign that people are accessing. They're realizing that there's resources out there. They're accessing them, and they're you know getting the help, and that's really super important.
Yeah. That's why shout out to all these organizations and programs who have made it a point, even if it wasn't necessarily beforehand, that they wanted to push the arts and push performance and as you guys have been using the word outlet, I really think that it's extremely crucial to recognize every day of the pandemic that two things, one, nature, and two, arts that we connect with and have realized that we haven't been connecting enough with. Let's talk about your second story, Jim. Parents of children with disabilities in Saskatchewan are starting to discuss whether the pandemic has opened people's eyes to inclusion issues. So what are they saying?
Well, this is kind of an extension, really, of the story we just came from. They're talking about these are families with family members who may have different types of disabilities. There is, on the one hand, there is the discussion is ongoing, or maybe it's even gotten a little bit better and a little bit further ahead on inclusion, on including folks with, you know, with society, because there's now barriers that didn't even exist a year or two ago. And that's a good thing. But on the other hand, these parents are saying, is this, you know, do people really fully understand? Is it going to translate into long-term, you know, further inclusion? And is there a chance that, you know, we kind of took a step back in some ways? And one way that, that came out of the story that really opened my eyes is they were talking about kind of social inclusion. And they say that young people, when they're in elementary school or in the younger grades, it's very inclusive, and you know, children side by side, who some may have some mobility challenges, cognitive challenges, play and interact side by side with all the children in the school, and it tends to be quite inclusive just naturally, because children are inclusive. They don't. The barriers don't start coming up until the social, exclusion starts to happen in junior high and high school.
So you're taught it.
Exactly. So there's this societal thing. And that's what might be happening more so now, because, you know, even schools that are open, they're not necessarily functioning as an entire school anymore. They're individual classrooms that are going through schooling to be safe. So are there periods of time where children are taking a step back because of the grades that they are in, maybe junior high or high school? So all very important conversations that that parents are having and trying to deal with.
And mostly what we can take away from these conversations, these experiences going forward. Excellent, Jim. Sir, I want to get to this item too, because it affected so many people's lives and continues. In Saskatchewan, still, we'll stick with, on the 3-year anniversary of the Humboldt Broncos bus tragedy, the community has announced a preliminary plan for a memorial. What does this plan include, sir?
This is also very, very touching that the city of Humboldt is looking at. It's, of course, we just went through the 3rd anniversary of the crash. It claimed 16 lives. It injured 13 others. There's the preliminary plan from the Broncos Memorial Committee, and this included some of the parents from the children that were on the bus. They want to build a $25 million tribute center, which will include a gallery honoring the victims, as well as an arena and a fitness and physiotherapy area. And the reason is, their rationale is, they want to have more than just a solemn memorial placed, in the community or at the site or anything like that, where people, you know, understand what happened and maybe mourn what happened. They want something that's part of the community that shows some of the positives that came out of, there's no positives out of losing these young people, but there's positives in the way that the community rallied.
Yeah. When you talk about potentially a place where physical activity could be worked on, and that shows that how much these people recognize survivors and their needs and what they've gone through, and that can extend to so many other people. Jim, when will we hear more about, is this going to be a fact? Is it just put out there now?
Well, they're in now. The city is in the fundraising for it right now. They say it'll take at least a couple of years before construction. In my opinion, I'm sure that the province, I'm sure the federal government. I don't think the fundraising is going to be an issue.
No.
It still is probably a couple of years away from completion.
Wow. Thanks for bringing it to us, Jim. Thanks for being with us as you usually are every 2 weeks on the program. Take it easy, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Our content development specialist, join us Wednesdays and Fridays here on Kelly & Company. We're going to take a break, and we've got the next hour of Kelly & Company ahead for you, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot of questions to get to, as we spoke with Jeff Ryman earlier, concerns and evolving information regarding vaccines. Registered nurse Leslie DePoe will be giving us the real picture of what's going on. Maurice Tabarge, certified vision rehabilitation teacher in Kingston, will be with us, and she'll be talking to us about taking over our finances. But up next, Bill Shackleton, Arise for the Wednesday Buzz. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.